My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Hey, 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 it's sports time out, part of the My Michelle Live broadcast of the week, where we look at the news of the week, take it on, parse it apart, have some fun with it, and we try to get to a better, deeper, more inspiring story we call the God story as well, because that's what we do on My Michelle Live. Let me introduce you to the folks weighing in today. These are our commentators, and I know you're going to love them as much as I do. We have with us Joshua McMillan. We lovingly refer to him as our Wookiee of the Year.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
We have with us coach, chaplain, pastor, and all-around cool guy, Garrick Payne.
Get ready to get...
Hey, Reverend, you could have just said amen.
Amen, Reverend. And then we have with us, does it look like we're getting joined by someone here? Ha, ha, ha. There we go. There we go, indeed.
We have a knock on the door.
The encyclopedia is in the library.
There we go. We have Encyclopedia Rich.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
And then we have with us Matt Peel. He's the author of this book right here, Athlete in the Game of Life. He's our Man of Steel, Matt Peel.
The Man of Steel.
I am the knowledge and strength of 10,000 worlds and flesh and machine. I am becoming everything.
That's a proper introduction.
The Man of Steel.
And there we go. Josh is off screen because he doesn't have his camera set up yet. I don't know. Maybe he thinks that a Wookiee would be too distracting. But guys, hey, happy Friday to you. Thanks for joining. Sup, guys?
Thank you. Happy not so here. Blue Friday.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty blue, dang blue if you're a Seahawks fan. Yeah. Pretty dang blue. But come on, you guys are seeming, at least for those of you who are Seattle-based, you're all kind of seeming a little blue today. Come on, it's time for sports! Okay, there you go. Let's start with something on the upscale. I know some of you guys are a little, like I said, blue today because of, some things happening in your neck of the woods. But we're going to start with the USA. Last night, USA took on Jamaica, and it was a pretty amazing match. They seemed fairly evenly matched, but as the second half came into be, it was 0-0. But then Ricardo Pepi just pumped in two in the second half for a 2-0 victory over the Jams. Now, this was for the 2002 World Cup qualifying at Q2 Stadium in Austin, Texas. And this kid, Pepi, rising star, he made his U.S. men's national team debut just last month, scored the game-winning goal against, was it Honduras? So pretty cool. I enjoyed the game last night. The USA had 17 shots to Jamaica's 5. USA 7 shots on target. Jamaica had 1. And they had USA at 61% of possession. I didn't think the USA came out looking strong in the first half. But I will say this, and I wanted to take this to you guys. Do you know what they did not have at the match yesterday?
Hot dogs?
No, it's the USA. Of course they have hot dogs. Come on. No, you know, Fans. they didn't have VAR. They did not have VAR. Oh. Plus they had a ref that was fairly young, fairly new. And he made some it looked like he was afraid of making some controversial calls. to be honest, because 20 seconds in, Jamaica was flirting with a red card. He just gave them a yellow. But the whole VAR thing, VAR is invaluable, guys, and yet they didn't have it. The idea is that, well, there are some countries that are just too poor. They can't afford VAR systems. So when we're playing those countries, they don't get VAR. I'd like you guys to weigh in on that.
Well, number one, Michelle, FIFA is making all kinds of money, so that's not a relative argument.
Well, why isn't FIFA providing VAR then for those countries
Because FIFA is cheap, and in a lot of ways is corrupt. Let's not beat around the bush with everything that has gone down in international soccer recently. FIFA doesn't have the greatest reputation in terms of a major organization, Matt.
I agree with you. It's a mystery why VAR isn't at every single game. So, and again, inform me, because I don't know. Does that mean that if it can't be in all the CONCACAF World Cup qualifying?
No,
Jamaica
just
can't afford to
apparently
have
just
TV,
with
or what?
If Jamaica can't afford it, then when they're playing the U.S., there's no VAR there, even though it's played in the U.S., even though there's VAR equipment sitting off to the side. We're just not going to use that because it's not something they get at home. I don't understand that. Why not, first of all, as Rich alluded to, why not FIFA purchase it? Make sure that the proceeds, because you made a lot last night in wall-to-wall people, provide it for them. And secondly, why wouldn't you boost it up? Why wouldn't you use it when it is available? I mean, at that rate, what we're going to be doing is saying, well, these countries are disadvantaged. So if there's a controversial call, it's going to go to the disadvantaged countries just to equal things out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm going
off
the rails.
It's another thing, Michelle, that makes soccer look stupid to the U.S. market. And FIFA and international soccer doesn't need to be doing that kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah. To those of you who are non-soccer people, initially I didn't like VAR to start with, just because I'm kind of a game purist. But with all the flopping and all the other things that are involved, unfortunately, it become a part of the international game. I've become much more comfortable with it, and I'm really grateful that it's available now. And if it's available, it needs to be used. It's really ridiculous that it's not. And
it's like the NFL. The NFL's got instant replays. It's the same thing. And look how better the game is because they make it right.
Yeah.
They have an opportunity to make it right. So I don't get why they would not.
Hey, let's talk NFL. Unless you guys have anything that you want to mention in the world of soccer, MLS.
Well,
I guess there are some things. Let's talk about the other football later.
Well, I did just want to say that the U.S. actually looked really good last night, even though it was only a 2-0 victory.
The first half, I have to disagree. The first half, they were kind of lackluster, but second half, they came on. What? Pam, pam,
yeah, the
pam.
Half, they looked a lot more comfortable. Players, and whenever you have an international team, and regardless of how many stars you have, I can just say from a coach's perspective, it's hard to get your players to really gel. And I think coach did a good job of putting guys in the places where they were comfortable. And there just seemed to be, as you said, Michelle, in that second half, just a really great flow, a real good kind of rhythm that we had gotten into.
Yeah, gelling is a big deal. And that's part of the issues, don't you think, Matt, with international teams? Because you don't always get the kind of opportunity to gel like you do in like EPL. EPL is crazy play. I love watching that.
If we're gonna take it akin to the NFL, so it would be like saying, all right, so once every other month we're gonna get this little all-star team and try to put together these plays and go run the plays. They don't always work right because you don't have the practice time like you do with your normal team. So even though they're all very skilled, it's a different system that they're going to come in and learn in a few weeks. And maybe they're even playing a little bit out of position compared to what they normally are. So it's just, it's hard to get that same type of quality out of a quote-unquote national all-star team as you would from the guys that you're in day in, day out of.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I just want to say, like, last night, for example, as Josh alluded to us last week, last night was an amazing night for sports. College football is on. Pro football is on. U.S. national team is on. Baseball playoffs are on. Hockey was on. If you like basketball preseason, your team was on. That was on. So it was a hell of a night to watch TV. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I love this time of the year. I mean, you have so much. Even for people who watch television, and I'll watch from, you know, here and there. I'll tell you what, there's so much sports going on. Who cares what's going on? Who cares what's on in the movies? It's wall-to-wall sports, and I am really enjoying it. Josh, the NFLPA Executive Director DeMaurice Smith's job is said to be in jeopardy. They had a split vote on the committee. What do you think?
I would hope that they would make some changes there. We know that Marshawn Lynch is coming on board as one of the brand representatives for them. But I mean, we've talked about this a bunch on this show, that the NFL Players Association is a joke. They don't represent their players well. They don't do anything that you would expect them to do. You know, if this organization, you compare it to like what the Baseball Players Association does, you know, if they acted the same way, the players would be up in arms. They'd be held accountable. But that's just doesn't happen here. So I really hope that they make some changes and they get the NFLPA right.
Yeah. Well, anyone else? I mean, do you think what changes do you want to see?
Well, it's going to have to start at the top with DeMaurice Smith not getting his job back. And I'd like to see, and I'm going to probably get some no's on this, but Richard Sherman really deserves an opportunity to lead that organization, because before his fall from grace, let's just put it that way, he was one of the people on the forefront that was bringing up some of these issues. The NFL Players Association has completely botched the whole COVID thing, basically did not represent their constituency. And there have been numerous players that have complained about the collective bargaining agreement, which runs, I believe, to 2030. And there's all kinds of things that are up in the air. And it's probably the weakest professional sport league outside of the WNBA.
Okay. I think that you got some points there, and we've seen a decline in viewership, at least in the past. I don't know what the numbers are this year, Rich.
They're up 17% this year so
okay.
far.
Because we've been starved of it. That's why. Last night, I have to say this because, Rich, you got the Seahawks there in the background. Russell Wilson had broken Peyton Manning's record as the fastest quarterback to get to 100 wins. The 101st did not happen last night.
Well, that's what happens when you break your middle finger on somebody else's helmet and basically can't play the rest of the game.
Oh, not broken. It's not broken. They confirmed there's no fracture or broken. But
thank you, Josh.
They are going in for an MRI later today to get more information on it. Right now, the assumption is called mallet finger.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Severe like strain this. Of that.
So joint. If you're a croquet person or a polo person, you can get mallet finger. Is that how that goes, John?
No, apparently. His finger looked like a mallet, like this. It was really unfortunate the way that it happened. And you know, that game, I had such weird mixed emotions afterwards. I mean, mostly I was disappointed, but that play at the end of the first half that was a touchdown, oh. and then due to the holding penalty, yeah. it had to become a field goal, and then the field goal was missed. I mean, something as small as just a little bit of a hold changes the whole course of the entire game. And had we come out in the beginning of that first, second half, and so all these things happen, but then there's all this doom and gloom happening around the Seahawks. There's chatter like, is our defensive coordinator going to be out of here? Is Pete Carroll going to be out of here? I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Whiny
right
Seattleites, now. Y'all just don't like losing. That's what the problem is. But I'm going to tell you exactly what the problem is. Every freaking time that team wears the Grinch costume, they lose. Boom. Take the ugly green Grinch costume off.
That was their first loss in that out.
I like the Grinch costume.
You can't wear the onesie and be taken seriously.
That was their first loss. That they have never lost before wearing action green. So
are you sure? Because I was at a couple of games. I was at the first game they wore that, and I'm pretty sure they lost.
Where are you, CNN?
as a not necessarily fan of the Seahawks and just a football fan, it's kind of cool to see that colors out there.
I liked it a lot more.
It's
once a year, only on Thursday night football. You know, I don't mind it. I'm okay with it.
Nope.
That's their third kit, Derek. That's their third kit.
The Seahawks are calling me to defend their uniforms.
See, leave the rave green to the Sounders. Leave the rave green to the Sounders. That's what I say. There you go. Boom. Just say, hey guys, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Lumen Field, then maybe.
Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan had something to say on Urban Meyer. Now, the Urban Meyer gate. In Meyer gate, what really happened? There was a 9-second video showing Meyer sitting in a bar with his back to the bar in Ohio State, the pullover he was wearing, and a young woman was dancing pretty close to his lap. And so there's a big blow up. As I was saying, Shad Khan was saying, Urban Meyer's going to have to regain our trust and respect. It was like, what are you guys in a romantic relationship? What's going on here? And I'm going to tell you, after seeing the video, I think the woman's moves were about on par with what's happened, what happens on the sideline with the cheerleaders dancing. So what's the problem?
Well, it was his restaurant too, wasn't it?
That's the problem.
Yeah. The problems were also his lies about it. To be fair, I mean, he said afterwards that, oh well, I was out to the dinner with my family, and you know, made some bad decisions. His wife was at home with the kids. He was not out there with his family. Like he was lying about it. You know, he knows he messed up. He knows that this is not what you do. And the fact that, like, he's been having such struggles as a head coach, and he wasn't prepared to lose, which you do in the NFL. You know, you're not going to come into what was the worst team in the NFL, arguably, last year. You know, did not do well. That's why they had first round picks, all this cap space. And yes, you get to mold that clay, but it doesn't happen right away. You have to be willing to lose. You got to be ready for that and to build it up from the ground up. He wasn't ready for that, and it's shown. He's had problem after problem this season. He's showing huge struggles with it. And I don't know if he's long for the NFL, to be honest.
He's in over his head right now. He's going to have to do a lot of work to repair his reputation and also repair his playbook, because it's not working. He's making Trevor Lawrence look like he has no talent. And we all know that's wrong.
Yeah, it is an embarrassing situation, to be sure. And yeah, I'm a little tongue in cheek, because you know, it isn't really all that different than what you see on the sidelines, saw in the video.
But on the sidelines, the cheerleaders are not rubbing up against the coach either.
Nope, they're not.
The game.
They're not.
So
you're absolutely right. They're not. Yeah. And there was touching, supposedly, in a follow-up video where there was touching involved. So this other video emerged on social media, and he's touching the woman's bottom. So it is very different. However, I guess I'm saying this to make a bigger point. We have a really blurred line with sexual propriety. And if we were to take it on over to soccer, U.S. Women's National Team, Alex Morgan is speaking out against sexual harassment, and she says it's a league-wide problem. The NWSL Courage owner said, hey, well, we knew of this investigation, but we were assured he was in good standing. So I guess what I'm asking you guys, where is that line clear between canceling and forgiving? And Where's the line clear between how it's appropriate to treat and objectify women and where it's not?
Well, it depends.
I want to hear from the men. I'll sit back and listen.
It depends on what league you're talking to and what day of the week it is and who the person and who the
okay,
person
so
is.
There really is no moral standard, well, and it just depends on which league and how. I mean, honestly, guys,
come on. That's the reality, but that's not what it should be. I mean, absolutely.
Great
there
point,
is a,
Garrett.
There is a definitive standard of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Now, where I have a problem in terms of this cancel culture is when things are done out of a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
So not like when you see a video here of Coach Meyer or whatever. I mean, those types of things, you have evidence and it's clear, okay? And it's not appropriate. However, you get all kinds of things where somebody said something and allegations should be investigated and they should be looked at. And people should, you know, this whole thing of everybody should be believed. Well, everybody should be believed in terms of being able to have their day in court.
They should have their say.
You should also be innocent until proven guilty.
Okay.
And so where it gets gray is when you have a he said, she said, or he said, he said, or whatever the situation might be, when there's no one else is present. So then you have to look at, you know, some other factors. You look at someone's reputation and their track record and those types of things. And so I just feel like things have swung, the pendulum has swung too far in terms of the cancel culture. But then at the same time, things that, in terms of what Rich was saying, things are not, there's no equal standard that's
there's
being
no
applied.
Consistency. And I want to continue facing off on this, guys, because there is no consistency with this issue. I mean, whether it is dealing with sexual harassment, sexual impropriety off the field, or, you know, I joked about sideline dancers, which, you know, if you have cheerleaders, cool, that's fine. But you'll see now that they have men on the field dancing as well, they're not wearing skimpy costumes. Why is that? Why don't we have consistency there? Where is the consistency and where is the line? Where should that line be between canceling, forgiving, and equality? Josh, Matt?
I think that you got to look at a lot of situations. If we're going to look at this Urban Meyer situation compared to what's going on with Alex Morgan, Urban Meyer's not at work. Urban Meyer is off work. Someone comes, two people are at a bar. Someone dances up to you. You touch them. You don't touch them. Is that sexual harassment? You're not at work. You're in a social setting. And I'm not saying it's not inappropriate or could be construed as inappropriate, especially if Josh says, hey, your wife and kids are at home. So that's one thing. But is it harassment? That's not harassment. It's not in a work environment. Mm-hmm. What you're saying, though, for the NWSL, I mean, absolutely, it's a work environment. And then Garrick, you know, he said, she said, who's there? And is it really in a work environment? Or is it in a social environment like that? And then now the he said, she said comes up. Do you see that often too, with cases being pushed on that he harassed me, he did this to me, or he did that to me. And in the end, it didn't happen. You know, what do the courts say? All right, well, you're right. This didn't happen. So I don't know if you have a definitive black and white line on it when it comes to, you know, you have that.
Yeah, you really do, Josh.
This whole topic just makes me think, I don't know if you guys have seen the latest Chappelle special on Netflix. Has anyone seen that?
It's a few months old, that one.
I've heard about it.
No, one just came out.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's called The Closer. I love Chappelle. He's hilarious. But he makes a point about a rapper, DaBaby, which great rap name, DaBaby, who he shot a man in a Walmart and nothing happened to his career. And then he made insensitive remarks about gay people and now he's been canceled. You can shoot and kill a person, but you can't upset a gay person. And I know that that's not exactly 100% analogous to this situation, but it just kind of goes to show how cancel culture has come around. You know, like it's, you upset someone, you hurt their feelings, and you know, you're going to get canceled for it. But you can kill someone. Not, I don't know. I'm, you know me, I'm not a big fan of cancel culture. If you do something incredibly egregious, you know, like I really don't like the banana thing that we talked about last week. That seems over a line. Right.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
That kind
Michelle,
of
show what it comes down to is we live in a world that is not a world that wants to acknowledge God or even think about the possibility of God.
Well, why would we do that? That brings consistency, and it brings an ultimate right, and it brings an ultimate wrong, and it gives guidelines. That's just too easy. Come on.
That's because moral relativism is what rules the day, and moral relativism gives you the opportunity to do whatever you want to do, as long as you can justify it to yourself.
Okay, well, here's another example. We have the NBA. And in the NBA, there were former NBA players who were charged in a $4 million healthcare fraud scheme. I think I'll play a video on that just to give you, because I don't know if everyone's heard about this. So I'll play a video just to give you a little bit of background on this. Take a listen.
18 former NBA players were indicted Thursday for allegedly defrauding the league's healthcare plan by submitting fake medical claims worth millions of dollars.
Thanks to the hard work of our law enforcement partners, their alleged scheme has been disrupted, and they will have to answer for their flagrant violations of law.
U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss said the scheme's linchpin was former New Jersey Nets lottery pick Terrence Williams. Other defendants include former lottery picks such as Sebastian Telfair and Darius Miles, as well as former NBA champions Glenn Big Baby Davis and Tony Allen. Allen's wife was also indicted.
Yeah, so what? Oh my gosh, $2.5 million, and there you go. What the heck? Seriously.
Well, the most interesting part of this is that one of those claims was filed while somebody was supposed to be playing basketball in Taiwan, but they were getting several $100,000 of teeth work done in Beverly Hills. Not too smart, gentlemen. Not well, very smart.
It just goes to show you that, you know, once again, greed messes people up. I mean, these are people who are already getting paid crazy amounts of money, and yet now they're doing something like this, and it could cost them everything.
And it's back, funny, because we're talking sports here, and I want to get into some of your guys' thoughts, because there is so much good going on in sports. And trust me, as you're watching, listening, or reading, we're going to get into, you know, some thoughts on what's going to go forward with this next week in the NFL. We'll talk about as we get to October what that looks like for Major League Baseball. But there are so many crazy scandals this week, and I don't know. Anybody in the NBA is, you know, already making money, and then here they're, I don't know, kind of going crazy with this big fine. So you've got that. There's another issue too, unless someone wants to weigh in, and you can in a moment. This has to do with during the game. You know who Jeff Van Gundy is?
Announcer.
Okay, yes. He's an announcer. Van Gundy was broadcasting. He made some comments during a Houston Rockets Miami Heat preseason NBA game about a guy who, some of the guys who, and I think he's alluding to Kyrie Irving, who was from the Nets, who isn't vaccinated. Take a listen, and let's just put this up on screen so you guys can see this too. More controversy in sports.
Just in general, you know, the one that drives me crazy is,
what's that?
I'm doing my own research. I would like someone to answer this question. What does that look like? You doing your own research? Are you doing studies yourself? Are you in the lab on a nightly basis? What are you doing? I don't understand what that means. I'm doing my own research. How about this? We got really smart people, a lot smarter than anybody in the NBA who's already done the research.
Whoa! So those people in the NBA, you're just not smart. Why isn't that considered a racist statement, by the way? I'd like to know. And he asked that question, you know, what do you mean you're doing your own research? And this is in regard to people who aren't vaccinated. Okay, so answer that question and weigh in, guys.
Yeah, this is something that I hate. This is something people have been kind of pushing a lot more of, like, what do you mean do your own research? Are you a doctor? Like, no, but I can look at a damn data sheet and I can parse the data. I know, like, I can look at the research this has been done and I can ask questions. You know what's not settled? Science. Science is never settled. At one point, we thought the earth was flat. You know, how did that go for us? And that was that. Anyone who thought differently was, you know, probably a devil worshiper or something, or hung in a Salem witch trial. It's a ridiculous thought that we as human individuals cannot look at the data presented and make educated decisions on it, or ask questions about it, right? I mean, we can look at things at how there's been less hospitalizations for COVID-19 than there were of the flu in 2017. We could say, yes, COVID is real. COVID is really dangerous to a certain subset of people, but does everyone need it? And it is something that is not really acknowledged, but the hate on anti-vaxxers is incredibly racist. Did you know that over 60% of African Americans are unvaccinated? I mean, look at the canceling that's going on of, I think it was Nicki Minaj, who was saying that, like, she's not getting it. And because her cousin had some issues with it, right? And they went all in on her. They were crazy. And she's like, look, just because I'm Black doesn't mean I have to follow what Democrats say. You know, you don't just get me until I don't think for myself. You don't just get that. You know, it's something that is something obviously gets me a little worked up when people say,
I wish you were more passionate though about it, Josh.
Are you a doctor? Are you doing writing a thesis on it? Please.
We also got to just come out and say, Kyrie, instead of saying, well, I'm doing my own research, I'm not getting it. Okay. But that's it. Just don't stop beating around the bush with the excuse, I'm going to do my own research on this. Hey, I don't want to get it. I'm not getting it. All right.
Well, he might get it, though. You don't, like, you know, he's taking time to look into it. He's not going to just listen to what the media is saying on it. You know,
Matt, the issue is the fact that people are not respected for their own opinions anymore.
Agreed.
It's my way or you're an idiot. I mean, it's not even... I mean, there is just no sense of, I mean, because it used to be that we could agree to disagree. Now we agree that you're a dumb blankety blankety blank if you don't agree with what I think.
I can't believe a pastor's using language like blankety blankety blank. This show, I'm telling you.
Well, Jeff Van Gundy is a hypocrite because based on his logical argument, we shouldn't be listening to him either because he is a part of the NBA and used to be a somewhat successful head coach. So he's ignorant.
He's calling himself an idiot
on air.
And that's something that I have a problem with. You know, we've got these smart people, a lot smarter than anybody in the NBA. You know, if that were turned around in the right circumstance, as I said, we would call him a racist because the vast majority of people in the NBA are people of color. They're POCs. This idea that you have to trust the technocrats, there are people who know better than us. So we just have to, let's blindly follow little automatons doing what we're told. That's not how America works. Let me school you, sweetheart. There are people who are doing research. And as Josh said, yeah, I'm pretty able to do that, do my own looking into it if I so choose. But to Matt's point, let's just bring it home. I'm not getting it. All right, move on. Next.
Jeff Van Gundy's statement brings up another thing. He is assuming that Kyrie Irving is not doing his own research because he does not agree with his, Kyrie Irving's conclusion to this.
Maybe he is in the lab at night. How does he know? I mean, they make enough money. Maybe they have a lab set up there in the basement. I don't know. But what do you think about this along those lines? San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane is being investigated by the NHL because he was allegedly using a fake COVID ID vaccine card.
Well, if it's true, he's going to jail.
Should we say that? More power to him or no?
You know, and is this what these mandates have forced us? It's like, I really don't want this. I don't want this in my body. Well, you don't have to play for the NHL. But is that really fair? Is that really reasonable when there is science out there that's not from the technocrats that says, you know, this could be dangerous. It may not be necessary. And if you've had COVID before, yada, 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 you have antibodies, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a lot of fake vaccination cards flying out there, let's just say, because people want to feed their families.
There's a lot of other stuff going on with that specific story. And it,
there is.
You know, so this is just another, this is another symptom of what else can they dig out for it and make popular?
Yeah, there is. There is. He's been accused of some other things as well. Gambling, spousal abuse.
He was cleared of those gambling charges on NHL games, but there's still an investigation going on into domestic violence.
Now, his wife will not testify against him. And so, you know, you don't know in divorces, you don't know. And to Garrick's point earlier, come on, you know, there is a place where you get to have your day in court. The only other, I'm just going to throw this out there because this has been a week of scandals. Boxing bouts had been reportedly fixed at the Olympics, according to an investigation. I promise you, that's the last scandal of the day. And then we're going to get into something a little more positive. I don't know.
Yeah, and an independent investigator, Richard McLaren, concluded there might be between at least 11 and 15 bouts at both the 2012 and 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics that we know about anyway. The International Boxing Association brought him in as an independent investigator. And how this works is it didn't start at the Olympics. It started at qualifying events prior to the Olympics between judges and referees to manipulate the system to eventually get the results at the Olympic level that they wanted to have. So
who wanted to have and to what end?
Well,
all right, stop boxing.
Well, we can talk about that for ages. You know, boxing is considered the gentleman's art of fighting and so on and so forth. But it also has a very seedy reputation, Matt. There's no doubt about this. And I'm just going to say, and this is no pun, another black eye for boxing.
It is a pun, and you know it.
Agreed.
And it was punny.
Agreed. Punny and puny.
It was indeed.
At the same time.
I, you know, and enough of scandals, to be
black
honest.
Black eyes matter.
He didn't say that. We're canceled. That's it. Pull out the hats. We've been canceled, which of course you can find these at mymichellelive.com. If you've been canceled, wear it in pride. Let's just get to Major League Baseball. This is one of the most exciting times of the year. And I just want to point out for our audience that Joshua McMillan has been following the biggest underdog in sports, and that is the Seattle Mariners, who gave a partial valiant effort. There were some really touching moments, and I think it's time for Josh to just kind of weigh in on this. So here we go. My oh my. Okay, it didn't continue, Josh, but we want to hear from you because you were wrapped up, and the Mariners call a close as we go into October, and we're leading even closer to the World Series. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, man, what a season this has been. And it was really, really exciting what the Mariners did. And the fact that they are relevant up until the very last game, just missing the playoffs. And, you know, there's, you can look back and say, what if they would have won this or that? But, you know, either way, a hell of a season by this team, and a lot of heart and a lot of really promising things. Because a lot of the guys that brought you here were not rental pieces. This isn't like previous years, because there's been other years where we were relevant up until the last couple of weeks of the season. I mean, we had, I think we had 89 years, what, 3-4 years ago. But that was with a lot of older guys that were coming to the end of the contract. That was right, you know, before we broke it down. That was with Felix Hernandez and Robinson Cano and Nelly Cruz. This time, a lot of the guys contributing in the back half of the season were guys like Jared Kelnick, guys like Abraham Toro, guys like Logan Gilbert. You know, these guys are core to your future. JP Crawford, who is absolutely going to be the emotional leader of this clubhouse moving forward, you know, gold glove talent, high energy guy, man, that guy plays every game like it's the first and last game of his career. I love watching that guy play. And the Mariners have said over and over now, you know, Jerry DePoto, that, you know, we're going to be bringing in some people. You know, because one of the big things they struggled with, they need two things. One, they need some starting pitching. Yusei Kikuchi was not good in the back half of the year. He's probably going to pick up his player option, but I don't know if he's going to be able to even be in the starting rotation next year. We'll see what happens with that. So we need at least one starting arm. I'd like to see them go after an ace, you know, go after the big name. Because you look at the other teams that have made it, like the Astros, right? They have a lot of young talent they bring up, and then they go out and they get an ace. The other thing that we need for these Seattle Mariners for next year to look into the offseason is we're going to look for an infielder. Kyle Seager left in an – he could still come back, but, I mean, they gave him the base. You know, they gave him third base as they pulled him from
Josh,
the game.
That
looked
honest,
like a goodbye more than
were you weeping?
Oh, yeah. Who wasn't? Getting teary-eyed there. You know, they pull him off, he starts bawling, the entire team starts bawling, the sideline reporters start bawling, the entire stadium is going crazy. I mean, there was so much emotion in that moment. You know, a guy who's been here through the ups and downs and been, you know, really like a solid rock in terms of a starting piece for the Seattle Mariners for the last a little over a decade. And I think it's 10 to 12 years, something like that, that he's been a Mariner and been playing defense and had that base there. So yeah, that was an emotional game for sure. He's probably not going to be back, but you have to replace that production. And I think you can do that with the same money and even a little bit better. You know, you can get guys that hit those home runs, like Marcus Semien is a name that's out there. You know, you need someone to come in and replace that. I don't know if they need to bring in a third baseman or move Abraham Toro over there, see if he can play that, because that's more his natural position, or even Ty France with Evan White coming back. But you need an infielder. Outfielders, you have a logjam because you have some real good prospects.
Yeah, I'm going to say that America loves the underdog, and so a lot of America was watching the Seattle Mariners this year.
A lot of America realized that Seattle Mariners exist in the last week of the season.
Yeah. You know who always knows that they exist is the Seattle media, who reports on the Mariners to the exclusivity of all else. But you had mentioned the Astros. Did you go? Oh, I did promise no more scandal, but this is more of a fan scandal. Did you see that where the fight broke out? It was at Minute Maid Park. Houston Astros, Chicago White Sox during the League Division Series game on Thursday, and a guy wearing a Tim Anderson jersey was walking through, you know, leaving the stadium, and he was being booed. Someone threw a drink on him. He turned around and he got cold cocked. I mean, it was just like, whoa, take a watch here. And so he's being booed. Guy pours his drink on his head. He turns around, pushes him, and a guy punches him to the ground. He gets up, and another guy comes up and punches him to the ground. Can you believe that? What the heck has happened in America where that is okay? What happened?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what happened?
What the heck? Well, what? It's not beyond what happened. It's like what has happened in America that's freaking okay. I mean, have we gotten to the point where when you have a differing view, you cheer for a differing team, you don't believe like I do, you're worthy of physical violence and a drink being poured over your head? What the heck?
It's not condoned, but it's not new.
It's not new. It's like, Michelle, it's not new. Yeah.
I played soccer in England. And we used to go. So I didn't play at the top professional level, but we would go to matches. And what they would do is they would bring their supporters in on a coach or on a bus, and they would have sections of the stadium cordoned off for the visiting team, and they would escort them in. And
before
they would
the
sit
game
in their section,
yeah,
completely segregated. Yes. I mean, there was a buffer section around them, and then the home fans could not have any access to them. After the game, before they released the home fans, they would be escorted out to their coach and driven away.
Yeah, and that happens here in MLS games too. You know, you have your supporters section. They have to go in like an hour before the game. They have to leave after everyone's cleared the stadium or whatever it may be. Yeah, I guess it's the way human nature is. Nonetheless, I want to talk just a little bit in our final minutes together about the Major League Baseball playoffs and how you think things are going to kind of gear towards the World Series. Los Angeles Dodgers are favored to win, and that's all good as long as it's not the San Francisco Giants, because multiple sports books are standing to lose more than $1 million if the Giants win the World Series. So anyway, I want your guys' thoughts on Major League Baseball and as we get closer and closer to the big WS.
Well, Major League Baseball has to use this World Series to keep rebuilding its reputation. This series between the San Francisco Giants and the Dodgers, their first ever matchup in the playoffs, should go a long way in helping baseball's overall ratings. I think the Dodgers are going to get another world championship.
Like us to get another world championship.
I'm going with the defending champion.
So
great heroics there at the bottom of the ninth to win the wild card. I mean, how much more drama do you get, and how much more sadness
by a
on the
former
other side
Mariner
you get on
right? By a former Mariner, Chris Taylor. Thank you very much.
You got to throw that in, Seattle boy. You got to throw that in.
Hey, Mr. Sports Encyclopedia. I just want to ask you, is it true that the Giants have never been in the playoffs against the Dodgers?
Yes, it is true. That is true.
They're in the same division, so it would be hard to.
Oh, right.
That is true.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Even in the old days, it would be hard to. They're both National League in New York. So
but because of the wild card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I see.
That's,
okay.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that pesky wild card that everybody said they didn't like. But all of a sudden has kind of
that's been the most exciting thing. I and you guys can disagree, but I think it's been the most exciting thing in Major League Baseball this year has been the wild card race. I have just been like astounded by it, just dumbfounded. It's been exciting. So, Josh, who do you pick to go all the way and who do you pick to win it?
You know, I would really like to see the Rays win it because I like their style of play. I mean, they got a lot of young players, and you know, it would make the Mariners look better because the Mariners made the Rays look like a bad team this season.
Amen.
So seeing them go all the way would feel really good. I also wanted to say, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I mentioned people didn't really care the Mariners existed through most of the season. Remember how the Padres were getting all the vibe? Everyone's like, oh man, these Padres look awesome right now. The celebrities were checking in at their games. I think even Russell Wilson went to a Padres game. Like, everyone was excited. And then they fell off the last half of the year. And you know who people got excited about instead? The Seahawks. So thank you to the Padres for falling off, even though you got, you know, some good talent on your team, and allowing the Seahawks to take that spotlight. So shout out to the Padres.
I like it. All right.
I kind of like, just for namesake, hope that the Red Sox play the White Sox in the pennant.
Yeah, just the fight of the Sox. I like that.
Battle of the Sausage.
I like it. Okay, we know what Rich's prediction is. We know what Matt is hoping for. Garrick, weigh in here. Who's going all the way?
You're on mute, brother. You're on mute.
I don't know if I have a horse in the race here, but I would probably, I don't know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Dodgers again.
Okay, that works. You know,
I got to jump off a little bit early here, but I'm going to give you my final shot.
Yeah,
really
let's
quick.
Do that. And final shot time shot. Anyway.
Final shot. I really want to put it out there. And again, thank you to the Padres for this to get us a little bit more hype. But Scott Servais, manager of the year. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He should be manager of the year this year. Look at what he did with this team. One of the lowest payrolls in baseball, right outside of the playoffs. And he was masterful. The way he managed the bullpen was a masterclass. Who did he have in his bullpen? Did you guys know any of these names before the season started? I mean, you know, Kendall Graveman, I think, is the only name that anyone ever was like, oh, yeah, he was a starter before. Okay, he's that guy. And he's not even with the team anymore. You know, he's done an amazing job with this team and really created a good culture here. I mean, there was a game earlier on in the season that didn't matter that much, but we won in overtime and he cried about it. He said, I love this team. He has big dad energy. It has been super important for the development of this team and did a great job, especially if you consider where this team is coming from after the whole Kevin Mather incident. The fact that he's been able to rally these guys and create that culture of caring about each other, because that's one of the biggest jobs of a manager is the culture. And he's got these guys playing for each other. He's got these guys, a young team, playing with relatively few errors compared to what you would expect, like very few, actually. So shout out to Scott Servais. I hope he gets it. I know he probably won't because baseball usually only cares about teams in the Northeast. But there you go.
I think you make a compelling argument, and I really want to thank you for that. Josh is our Wookiee
of the year.
Now let's get Peng. Garrick Peng, what's your final shot? Thanks, Josh.
Take care. All right. Well, I'm going to go back to the Seahawks game yesterday, and it was a crazy game, obviously, and it was a disappointing loss for Seahawks fans. And again, there's all kinds of different implications as far as what is what the future is going to hold. But Seattle has there was a kind of an unsung hero in the game last night, and and he, to me, just the way, what he did and the little surprise of what happened. I'm trying to see if there's a video that I could pull up. Anyway, this guy, he's very unlikely because he is actually an Australian, but he is our punter, Michael Dixon. And he had a situation where his punt was blocked. He recovered the own blocked punt, and he went and punted it again and landed the ball inside the 10-yard line. This guy brings it week in, week out, win, loss. He is an incredible athlete, very, very gifted. His style of punting is somewhat unorthodox, but it's incredibly effective.
That's because it's from down under.
Dan Enda.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so and there was some debate as to, are you able to do that? Can you recover it and kick again?
Right, the legality of it. But something about the fact that the ball never crossed the line of scrimmage, which meant he was able to punt it again. So that, because punting the ball twice, if it crosses the line of scrimmage, yeah. If you punt it again, then it's a penalty. That's my understanding. It was a little bit hard.
You're correct,
follow.
Sir.
Okay.
All right. And so, while you've got the microphone on, Rich Hallstrom, let's get your final shot.
Well, we're going to see some real boxing this weekend on pay-per-view. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, who is a follower of Jesus Christ, are going to meet up once again to try and sever their deadlock. And this is a big-time rivalry. For the heavyweight championship, Tyson Fury is the current heavyweight champion. And he says that Deontay Wilder isn't going to last very long. So I'm throwing my shout out to Tyson Fury for standing up for Christ and being one of the best boxers in the world.
Yeah, there's something to stand up for there. That's to be sure, because you want to be a winner, not just on the field, but in the world at large, in your life as well. Matt Peel, final shot.
I'm gonna give my shout out to Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace became the second African American to ever win a NASCAR race. He won the rain shortened Talladega playoff race, which also knocked some of those playoff contenders out who were trying to win. So just really kudos to NASCAR, because anybody can win and make a huge effect on how the championship goes. Unlike other sports, you're in the playoffs and you're kind of isolated in that regards. So congratulations to Bubba Wallace and Michael Jordan as a African-American owner for your first victory.
Hey, I want to give my final shout out to Kevin Holland. You guys know who Kevin Holland is? UFC? Ring a bell? Well, he's a fighter. And earlier this week, Kevin Holland apprehended this guy who was in the process of carjacking, stealing someone's car in his neighborhood. He chased him down, knocked him to the ground, and held him down. You know, he didn't use any fighting, you know, like beating the crap out of him or anything. He just knocked him to the ground, and he held him there until the police got there. And then was like, okay, my job here is done. I just thought that was a great story and way to use your skills in a way that makes a difference in your own hood. Way to go, sir. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging with us today. Thank you for watching and listening. My Michelle Live. Sometimes it's about fun. Sometimes it's about faith. Often that's what it's all about. And a lot of times we take on some of the hard news stories that aren't often circulated out there, that have been closed down. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you being part of the stand for freedom of speech, for freedom, for real journalism. It is so appreciated here. It's kind of a way to celebrate the good old USA. Thanks, guys, for joining us today.
Thank you, Michelle.
See, you bust a move a little bit. There you go. Come on, Rich has got it going on.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.